child with this technology could be born with three different biological parents. And, you know, in many ways, I think it's just scratching the surface. And how do we deal with the question of genetic engineering? Because certainly it would seem like there are noble ends to genetic engineering. Do we reject all genetic engineering, or are there some types that we as Catholics are morally permissible? So we'll get into all that with Chelsea a little bit later in the program. I'm not going to bring up basketball with her because she's a Gator fan, and they had the better of us not too long ago. Also want to talk about the minimum wage a little bit today in the light of today's first reading. You hear that in the news a whole lot, and you know, first reading from James, something to say, and yet really found a great article from Crisis Magazine, which is an excellent resource if you ever look at it online. If you look at it from a number of years ago, there was an article in another minimum wage debate time in terms of Catholic social teaching, which we'll hear about as we get into the letter of James. So a lot of that kind of stuff today, and I'm asking a question. It's Dexter Gordon, the late great saxophonist. It would be his 91st birthday today. So I'm asking the question, who's your favorite saxophonist of all time? And, you know, I asked this question with some personal interest because I, too, am a saxophone player. Though I unfortunately no longer have a horn. But I back in the day, not that long ago, I loved to play my beautiful Selmer Mark VI saxophone. So, who do you think is the greatest or your favorite sax player of all time? 855-949-1380. We'll ask a little saxophone trivia here in just a minute. 855-949-1380, or email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. But let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and to guide us through this hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Going to give away a couple of tickets to the Chick-fil-A Concert Series event on March 6th. 7 p.m. I think that is, let's see, a week from tonight, actually, down at Asbury University, Building 429, Family Force 5, and Hawk Nelson as a part of the We Won't Be Shaken tour. So here's my question, 855-949-1380, saxophone related. Which saxophone player recorded his epic album masterpiece that was called A Love Supreme? 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380. We'll have him in the background here. Ooh, I just said him. I reduced it. I mean, there are not many classically famous female sax players, if you think about it. But anyway, what saxophone player's epic album is called A Love Supreme? And this is from part one, Acknowledgement. All you got to do is give me his name. 855-949-1380. I'll tell you this. This gentleman, when people talk about the greatest saxophone players ever, his name may not always be at the top of the list, but it's always in the conversation. A Love Supreme. Who recorded it? 855-949-1380. 855-949-1380. We've got these two tickets. We Won't Be Shaken tour. See if we can get any sax players who listen. As I said, I am a sax player. I've always believed the saxophones are the most discriminated against section in the entire band. There's really almost a marching band caste system, if you've never noticed it before. You've got, of course, the percussion, legends in their own time, in their own mind, we'll put it that way, who, you know, the percussionists kind of carry themselves with a certain, you know, they drive the band, they work harder than everybody, they're arrogant, let's call it what it is. And then you got the brass players, you know, that's kind of the second level, you know, your trumpets, your trombones, you know, the tubas, whoever they may be. Then you got the woodwinds, the woodwind cast. And then at the very bottom, dragging the bottom of the woodwind cast, you have the saxophone section. Now, part of it is, and I got to be honest, I mean, part of this, the reality is, you typically either play the saxophone really well, or you play it really poorly. and there's very little in between. And most middle school into high school saxophone players play it really poorly. Let's just put it that way. But we oftentimes are late bloomers. We got Mark calling up. Mark, welcome to the program.
I've been wearing you out this week.
That's all right. We're gonna find out your musical jazz acumen.
Well, my dad raised me on jazz, but I know the old folks, you know. So this is a total shot in the dark, Kenny G.
This is not Kenny G.
Okay.
That's almost blasphemy. Almost blasphemy.
That's what I figured, but, you know, I thought that's the only thing that came to mind, so I thought I'd give it a try.
Yeah,
now that it makes it that much easier for somebody.
This guy predates Kenny G, and Kenny G typically played, I think, I don't own any Kenny G CDs, typically played the soprano sax. So this guy was more of a tenor sax player.
Okay, well, that was my shot in the dark.
Well,
so.
Great guess anyway, Mark.
All right,
take care. Bye-bye. All right, so we've still got these two tickets to the We Won't Be Shaken tour at Asbury University next Thursday night, Chick-fil-A Concert Series, Building 429, Family Force 5 at Hawk Nelson, asking a saxophone-related question. What saxophone player's epic album was entitled A Love Supreme? And this is part of it. Always in the conversation among the greatest sax players ever. 855-949-1380. Give me a call. Can't believe nobody's getting this. Gosh. Makes me question the cultural strength of our society. Not to be too dramatic. Anyway, the first reading today, I think very timely as we talk about this issue. You know, I kind of went on Facebook earlier in the week and said that I support raising the minimum wage. I know that's, you know, typically I on a lot of issues, I would probably line up more conservatively, even though in my opinion, the Catholic faith in its essence is both liberal and conservative in the best senses of the word, right? But, you know, in this sense, I kind of part ways probably with some of my friends who we might otherwise agree on a lot of other things. Because my point was this, you know, they're talking about raising the minimum wage from its current, whatever it is, $7 and something an hour. Did a little research on it and discovered that in terms of real dollars, the minimum wage per hour is actually less today and by a decent amount than it was when I was bussing tables at York Steakhouse back in 1983. And believe me, when I was bussing tables at York Steakhouse in 1983, I was not raking it in. In fact, I can remember the car that I drove, 1970 Chevy Impala, drinking so much of my paycheck in gas, right? And I want to pick this back up at the bottom of the hour because I do want to get to Chelsea, and I realize the time has snuck up on me here. But, you know, this interesting passage from James chapter 5 that talks about just wages. The wages that you withhold from workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud, the cries of the harvesters. We really have to guide our economic thinking through the lens of Catholic social teaching, and just wages is a big part of that. I realize it's a complicated issue. I'm not necessarily saying raise the minimum to 10 something an hour like some are advocating doing, but maybe at the end of the show we can get back to this issue. But again, if you know the answer to this question, what saxophone player's epic album was called The Love Supreme, you can win yourself two tickets to the We Won't Be Shaken tour at Asbury University next Thursday night. We'll be back. Your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Good Thursday afternoon from your listener-supported Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM. Sunshine with a few clouds for the rest of today with a high of 29, but a wind chill as low as 6. For tonight, the skies will be mostly clear with a low of around 9 and a wind chill as low as negative 2. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny during the day, but by the late evening and overnight, we'll see a chance of rain and snow coming in the area with a high of 39 and a wind chill of negative 2.
Here's a Catholic calendar update on Real Life Radio. Businesses that advertise with Real Life Radio, much like our donors, are what make it possible for us to stay on the air. Please support the businesses that have chosen to partner in mission with Real Life Radio. Visit our website at realliferadio.com, click on the support tab, and scroll down to support our advertisers. It's your Catholic connection on air and on the web with Real Life Radio at realliferadio.com. And that's a Catholic calendar update brought to you by Wine Styles on the corner of Moore Drive and Nicholasville Road. Find your style.
Merrick Inn has long been Lexington's premier celebration location. And with private accommodations for groups from a dozen to over 60, why wouldn't you celebrate at Merrick? However, the Merrick Inn wants you to know they're not just for special occasions. Not when every night is a special occasion for John's and 10 Club members. Show your card when ordering and get a bottle of wine at 20% off and the ever-popular prime rib for just $16.95. Deep discounts anytime for John Tinton Club members at the Merrick Inn. Enjoy yours tonight.
This is Chris Campbell, owner of Title Boxing Club. Title Boxing Club wants to help you keep your New Year's resolution. Title Boxing Club is home of the Power Hour, a total body workout that burns up to 1,000 calories an hour. Title Boxing Club is Lexington's only family-friendly boxing club. All fitness levels are welcome, beginners to pros. Your first shot is free at Title Boxing Club. Come in today to experience your free Power Hour. Or for more information, call 859-26-TITLE. That's 859-26-TITLE. In Regency Center off Nicholsville Road. Hit it hard!
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. Are you a beacon of faith or a bunker? Pope Francis often reminds us to let Jesus out, to get out of our bunker modes of church and take Christ to the rest of the world. In Matthew chapter 18, Christ commands us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This gospel passage makes it clear that we are to take our good message, all our good stuff, outside of our churches and ourselves to the world at large. And all the activities of the mystical body of Christ should be ordered to mission. In short, we are called to be beacons of Christ's love and meet the world where it lives. And do not fear, you have everything you need to carry Christ to the world by virtue of your baptism and confirmation. You are equipped, and when you surrender to Him, He will work through you. So, the question remains, are you a beacon or a bunker?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Real Life Radio is proud to announce our partnership with Conquest Boys Club to bring back the Real Life Radio Conquest Classic Golf Scramble. Save the date for Friday, May 16th at the Marriott's Griffin Gate. Proceeds from the event benefit both Real Life Radio and Conquest Boys Club of Lexington, which provides virtue training and activities for local boys ages 5 to 16. For more information about Conquest Boys Club or team and sponsorship opportunities for the Scramble, visit our website, realliferadio.com. The Real Life Radio Conquest Classic, Friday, May 16th. Save the date.
Good afternoon, Real Life Radio listeners. This is Jennifer with your traffic, brought to you by Kentucky Alarm Systems. Learn more at kyalarm.com. Non-injury collision on East High Street at Arlington Avenue. Slow traffic on the inner loop of New Circle Road between Versailles Road and Leestown due to an earlier collision. And UK men's basketball takes on Arkansas at Rupp Arena tonight. Be prepared for an increased traffic in that area. And that's your traffic on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380, 94.9 FM.
Minutes past the hour. You're back on the Mike Allen Show on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM. Talking about saxophone players today. Still got these two tickets to the We Won't Be Shaken tour out at Asbury University next Thursday night. Building 429, Family Force 5, and Hawk Nelson. All you got to do is call me, part of the Chick-fil-A concert series, and tell me, you can tell Jennifer, we won't have you come on air, but just which saxophone great and legend had his album, his epic album, was entitled A Love Supreme. 855-949-1380 if you can give me a call. 855-949-1380. Where would the world be without sax players? Glenn Frey's music certainly would suffer. I've got on the phone Chelsea Zimmerman, who's a regular guest on the program. Check out her blog sometime, reflectionsofaparalytic.com. Just Google that up. You'll find it easily. She also writes and edits for Catholic Lane and Ignitum Today. Calling in from the Sunshine State, Chelsea Zimmerman. Chelsea, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me again.
Chelsea, you always keep me informed on things that are happening. Not always good news.
No,
but,
I know.
You know, this brave new world that we live in, when I first heard you mention and saw you write about it on your blog, three parent embryos, I was like, what in the world is that? So tell us, what are three parent embryos?
Well, some people carry the mutations in their mitochondrial DNA that cause disease. And your mitochondrial DNA comes from the mother. And only from the mother.
Can you tell me real quick, what are some mitochondrial diseases? Because is that like Huntington's disease or anything like that?
Well, what I know of it is that it just causes complications that can't, it varies for what happens with these mitochondrial diseases. I don't know specifically what diseases they are. I just know that they, they vary in severity. Some can be very, less severe than others, but they can be very serious and lethal, I think. And so so the idea is to create an embryo free from this disease. And the only way to do that is to, you have to modify the embryo or the eggs. Now, you were trying to explain one technique for this. There are two different techniques that are currently being developed for this sort of technology. The one you had started talking about is called pronuclear transfer, which has been being developed in the UK, and that swaps the DNA between two fertilized human eggs. So you create one embryo with the defective, with the real mother's sperm or with the real mother's egg that has the defective mitochondria in it, and then you create another embryo with a donated egg that has the quote good mitochondria in it, and then you take the nucleus out of the defective mitochondrial embryo and put the nucleus from the good embryo into that one. And so essentially you actually destroy two embryos to create a third modified embryo.
And for the donor egg, is it fertilized with the sperm of the biological father
I think that's ideal. I think that's the ideal way of doing it. I don't know exactly if that's how they are all, how it's all being done right now, but I think that's the idea, so that you still only have the three genetic, parents. Now, that's the technique that's being done in the UK. What's being developed over here, and likely what the FDA has been looking at, is what's called maternal spindle transfer, which swaps the material between the mother's egg and the donor's egg before fertilization. So you take the nucleus out of the mother who has the defective mitochondria, and then you take the nucleus out of a donor egg and put that into the mother's egg, and then you fertilize that with the father's sperm. And it still has the DNA of the donor egg and the mother's egg and then the father's sperm. So you still have genetic material from three parents.
So if they did a DNA analysis, the evidence of all three types of DNA would be there.
Yes, that's the idea. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, so in that case, you're not creating multiple embryos and destroying them as you are in the pronuclear transfer, which is being done in the UK, and it's all that is also being done here in the States, or has been, but. Likely what we're looking at is the spindle transfer, which is swapping the material between the eggs before fertilization.
And in each of the cases, the fertilization is going to take place, I guess, in a petri dish, right?
In a petri dish, yeah. And that's for our purposes as Catholics, that's really the main concern, is that this does involve IVF. It can't be done without IVF. And so,
IVF
whatever
being in vitro fertilization.
In vitro fertilization. So whatever the safety concerns or anything like that, I mean, those are secondary to the main concern, is the fact that this involves in vitro fertilization and is, kind of has that going against it from the start, for Catholics anyway, for the Church. FDA... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because in the Church's understanding, the fertility is a gift, and parenthood is a gift. The church has always declared the danger of when you remove the procreative aspect of intercourse from the unitive aspect of intercourse, when you separate them in that sense, as you do when you fertilize a child in a petri dish, then you not only are depriving that child of the right to be conceived through the act of love, that through the marital act, but you also ultimately lead to the sort of the commodification. You turn a human life into a commodity, into something that I deserve or have a right to, and it's always a very dangerous path. And church oftentimes shouts and is ignored, but we see exactly what the church predicts will happen continue to unfold.
Right. And with this sort of technology, it can lead to even worse abuses. I mean, because what we're talking about is not just another reproductive technology. This kind of gene therapy is a genetic modification that will be inherited. So the child born from this technology will then pass on that genetic modification to their offspring, and then it will continue in that way. So, what we're really talking about here is proceeding with basically genetically engineering future generations without their consent. And that can lead to once we approve this for for mitochondrial disease for this kind of technology, this is only going to be the beginning. Once we start genetically engineering our children, even for a noble goal like this, it starts out for noble goals like this. Like wanting to treat mitochondrial disease is a good thing. We should want to treat disease and eradicate disease, but it will lead to further abuses. And we're talking about genetically engineering our children, and that's where it's going to lead.
Yeah, and that's something I want to get, maybe when we get to the next segment, we could talk about that a little bit to help clarify things, because, obviously there are ways, there are genetic therapies that could be morally licit in the Catholic Church that don't involve simply, some sort of genetic enhancement, but maybe dealing with a real condition or whatever it may be. So
right.
there's a tricky line there. But what's the status I think you had put on your blog that the Food and Drug Administration is currently considering whether to allow further study on this here.
Yes.
What you said that's already happening, are there any restrictions in the UK, or is it pretty wide open there, and is this being pursued in any other countries?
Several other countries, including the UK, although the their equivalent to the FDA, I forget the name of the thing they have there, but they have actually suggested to go ahead with it. It just hasn't become law yet. But there are several countries that have passed laws banning human genetic modifications that can't be inherited like this. In the United States, there are none. And in whatever the FDA decides right now they're just looking at whether or not this should proceed to the womb stage. They're not really considering whether they manipulating embryos in this way. They're considering whether to move forward with taking this to the next step and implanting these embryos and seeing them grow and be born. And from what I have gathered, from what I've read from the meetings this week, no ultimate decision has been made, although they have voiced concerns that they are skeptical about whether this should proceed purely based on safety concerns. That there have been some significant complications in animal models, and several of the embryos that have been created through this procedure have shown signs of genetic deformities and things. And so, like I said, when I've written about it, it's we could just be trading mitochondrial disease for other abnormalities with this, because we don't know how what this is going to mean later on down the road for these children that are created using using this technology.
Well, Chelsea, we're going to have to go to break. When we come back, we'll pick this up. If you've got a question or a comment for Chelsea Zimmerman, my guest today, 855-949-1380, or email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. With Chelsea Zimmerman, we're talking about three-parent embryos and other genetic engineering that's taken place and what our concerns should be as Catholics. We'll be back. Your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
With your Real Life Radio news in a minute, I'm Joe Larza. The University of Pikeville will open Kentucky's first college of optometry, school leaders announced yesterday. The university plans to build a new facility to house the college, which will start with a class of 60 students in 2016, officials said. Round after round of winter weather has taxed state road crews and put an extra pinch on the salt supply around Kentucky. Officials in Rowan County say the back-to-back storms had their road crews working 16-hour shifts for several weeks straight. And with more winter weather a possibility for this weekend, several counties report salt shortages. This has officials making changes to how they treat roads, salting only intersections, hills, and sharp curves. That's your News in a Minute, brought to you by KYForward.com on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Good Thursday afternoon from Real Life Radio. Sunny for the rest of today and into the early evening with a high of 29, but a wind chill as low as 6. For tonight, our skies will be mostly clear with a high of around 9 and a wind chill as low as negative 2. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny during the day, but by the late evening, a chance of rain and then snow comes in the area with a high in the upper 30s and a wind chill as low as negative 2. This is Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Here's a Catholic calendar update on Real Life Radio. Have you checked out realliferadio.com lately? It's simple, easy to navigate, and there's a wealth of knowledge there. Check out our complete list of advertisers under the Support Our Advertisers tab, peruse the events calendar, and don't forget you can still listen to podcasts from our local shows and recent events, including our What If It Is True speaker series, under the On Air tab. Go to realliferadio.com and enjoy. And that's a Catholic calendar update brought to you by Wine Styles on the corner of Moore Drive and Nicholasville Road. Find your style.
In today's economic climate, knowing how to invest your money isn't easy, and knowing who to trust can be even more difficult. That's why I trust the guys at Retirement Tax Advisory Group. Hampton, Ryan, and Jonathan are local guys who have spent their entire lives being committed to the financial health of their clients. They offer investment and retirement savings plans individually tailored to your goals and objectives. Every client is different, and they know that. Call Retirement Tax Advisory Group, 233-1083, 233-1083, or go to retireky.com and make retirement happen.
Hi, this is Greg Mundock from TGI Fridays at Fayette Mall. Listen to what great deals we have right now. For starters, we have Tuesdays for Jack. All day long, Jack Daniels entree for only $5. And now we have $3 Thursday. That means $3 appetizers all day long. And Sunday, we have half-price appetizers from open to close. And for John 1010 members, you get 20% off at the Fayette Mall location only. I am Greg Mundock, and you have a friend in the restaurant business at TGI Fridays, Fayette Mall.
TGI Fridays, every guest leaves happy.
Studies have shown that promotional items can improve the favorable perception of your organization by 78%. That's a huge impact. We believe in the impact of promotional items at Real Life Radio and trust locally owned and operated 10th Planet to provide the absolute best quality at the absolute best price. Now 10th Planet is offering free t-shirts for John 1010 Club members. Get 10 free t-shirts with your order of 48 or more of the same design. Find out more at go10thplanet.com. That's go10thplanet.com.
Good afternoon, Real Life Radio listeners. This is Jennifer with your traffic, brought to you by Kentucky Alarm Systems. Learn more at kyalarm.com. Non-injury collision on East High Street at Arlington Avenue and outbound Athens-Boonesboro Road at Hayes Boulevard. UK men's basketball takes on Arkansas tonight at Rupp Arena. Expect congestion downtown. And that's your traffic on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Thank you.
36 minutes past the hour, the sounds of Phil Woods, I think one of the great alto sax players of all time. His classic solo in Billy Joel's Just the Way You Are. Talking about sax players today, if you want to email me your favorite saxophonist or Facebook post it, that's on the birthday of the late, great Dexter Gordon, who would be 91 years old today. I'll tell you what, you may look my sax playing drew in. Anyway, I got Chelsea Zimmerman on the phone. Chelsea, thanks for waiting.
No problem.
Did you ever play the saxophone, Chelsea?
No, I was in band for about 3 months in fifth grade, and I played the trombone.
Oh, well, my son plays the trombone, so that's a good choice. You were in the higher caste of the brass, not looking down on us lowly saxes, no doubt.
That was a big instrument.
And I did want to say, I said to you off the air, but congratulations on your Florida Gators, ranked number one, having a great, great season.
Well, like I said, after the disappointing football season that we had, this has been a welcome basketball season, to say the least.
Well,
even more so than it would normally have been.
So you beat us in Rupp, and unfortunately we have to go to Gainesville, and I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think we're going to get crushed again. So,
well,
I just can't catch a break, football or basketball.
I think the Gators are vulnerable. I mean, the games they've been winning have been awfully close. So,
well,
we'll see.
I hope you're right. So we're talking about this whole, this bioethical concern about three-parent embryos, mm-hmm. which... Again, noble goals, I guess, trying
right.
to treat a condition, but again, thinking that the ends can justify the means, which, of course, in the Catholic worldview, they can never do that.
Right.
I was clarifying with you off the air, in terms of this three-parent embryos, none of them have been brought to term, I guess, to actually a live birth at this point,
well,
that you know
I
of.
I did find what is the closest to what we're talking about. A friend of mine actually wrote about this not too long ago, and it was children back in the 90s. A New Jersey embryologist, Dr. Jacques Cohen, began using a similar technique called cytoplasmic transfer to help infertile couples conceive. And 17 children were born after this technique, and two were confirmed with genetic testing to have the genetic material of three people. And according to a 2002 report in the Washington Monthly, one of those children has been diagnosed with pervasive developmental disorder.
Hmm.
And so, whether that is a direct, the cytoplasmic transfer is a direct cause of that. They're, obviously the people who did this procedure are denying that, but the fact remains, to deliberately create people with multiple mitochondrial genotypes and without knowing the consequences is just it's just radical experimentation on children that we're doing right now. We don't know what kind of effect this is going to have on children. And to proceed with it, it's just, it's unethical to do that. I mean, because we just don't know. That's IVF. I mean, that's been the 35-year legacy of IVF, really. I mean, we're finding, children with children conceived through IVF a lot of times have a higher risk for genetic disorders and things like that. And so it's radical experimentation on children, and it just can't be just. I mean, in my mind, and obviously in the church's mind, can't be justified that way.
Unfortunately, it's not surprising when we live in a culture that, by its very legislation, by its very approach to the moral issue of abortion, for example, we've pretty much established that unborn children do not have the same rights, that in many times they are viewed as less than human, and in many cases even less than animal life, really. And so, therefore, if you'll experiment on animals, why not experiment on these human embryos? It's very
right.
disturbing.
Well, it is. But then, of course, like I said, in animal models, this has not gone very well, you know. I mean, Dolly the sheep, I mean, she died prematurely, and, I mean, this is, a lot of this uses similar technology as the way Dolly the sheep was created, and animals created through this technology have serious complications. And I think that's what the FDA has ultimately decided, that the safety concerns are enough that they're very skeptical about going ahead with this. But like I said, I don't think they're going so far as to say you still can't experiment in the, you know, pre-implantation stage with human embryos. So I think that's, we're still going to see that go forward. We just may not see them implanted anytime real soon. But I mean, and I think, you know, we've kind of alluded to this before, but, you know, talking about the church's position on this stuff, you know, the church isn't against genetic engineering or genetic modification per se. There are good ways to go about doing that. There's a what they call a somatic therapy, where you're actually modifying the gene, the damaged gene in question. That doesn't affect future generations. Where you're just working on the patient himself or herself.
Sure.
You know, and those things are good, but when you're talking about affecting the entire genetic makeup of a human person that's going to be inherited through the, you know, through multiple generations, that's where it kind of crosses the line. And then especially when you get into, you know, enhancement for non-medical conditions or, you know, things, whatever we can dream up in the future, that's where the church also will have a problem.
Yeah, you directed me to an article from Catholic Lane written by your friend Rebecca Taylor, who's your colleague that you do the BioTalk clips with.
Mm-hmm.
She differentiates between gene therapy
and
genetic enhancement. And she has a quote here from Donum Vitae. A strictly therapeutic intervention whose explicit objective is the healing of various maladies, such as those stemming from chromosomal defects, will in principle be considered desirable, provided it is directed to the true promotion of the personal well-being of the individual without doing harm to his integrity or worsening his condition of life. Such an intervention would indeed fall within the logic of the Christian moral tradition.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, as long as we're trying to heal an otherwise, you know, broken human being or whatever, you know, with that, we're doing it in a way that still upholds their dignity and doesn't do them any further harm, those are good things. But, you know, with this germline therapy, we don't know what kind of harm we're doing to them.
You know, it reminds me sometimes, Chelsea, when I look at all these things over the years, and, you know, that the church continues to be that voice, that oftentimes the church gets treated, you know, like the teenager treats the, you know, the worrisome parent or the nagging mother, like, you know, I hear you. Then they just press on forward with what they wanted to do anyway. And then oftentimes, you know, when the teen gets into adulthood, they look back and they say, you know, Mom and Dad knew what they were talking about because I saw the consequences of those actions later on. I wonder when the scientific community, the culture is going to, in some instances, look back and say, oh, wow, yeah, maybe the church had something to say, but it just seems like with each new thing, no matter how prophetic the church proves to be, we just get, you know, kind of ignored as the perpetual scold. You know, that's and that just is really frustrating.
It's frustrating. I think, you know, because the world, we're just so short-sighted. You know, we want this immediate gratification of, you know, we can, all we see is trying to, you know, with this three-parent embryos, all we see is a we're trying to heal, you know, we're trying to cure diseases, we're trying to prevent diseases, and that's a good thing. And the church is saying, wait a second, you know, take a step back and look at what does this mean for the future. Are we really going to be treating this disease? Are we possibly making things worse for the future? You know, just take a step back and look at the long-term consequences of what's happening. And I think the world is just a little too short-sighted in that sense.
Absolutely. Well, I can't tell you how much we appreciate the work that you do and keeping that issue out there. And I'm trying to direct as many people to your blog as possible. Like I said, Google it up, reflectionsofaparalytic.com. Chelsea Zimmerman, always a pleasure.
All right, thanks.
Blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
I don't want clever comfort.
Good Thursday afternoon from your listener-supported Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM. Sunshine with a few clouds for the rest of today with a high of 29, but a wind chill as low as 6. For tonight, the skies will be mostly clear with a low of around 9 and a wind chill as low as negative 2. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny during the day, but by the late evening and overnight, we'll see a chance of rain and snow coming to the area with a high of 39 and a wind chill of negative 2.
Here's a Catholic calendar update on Real Life Radio. Did you know you could help Real Life Radio simply by doing something you do every day? If you switch your main search engine to goodsearch.com, your internet surfing could turn into dollars and cents donated to Real Life Radio. Make sure to enter Thy Kingdom Come Network in the secondary search box. Each time you search, money will be donated to the station. Remember, the next time you need to find a website, don't Google it, good search it. And that's a Catholic Calendar update brought to you by Wine Styles on the corner of Moore Drive and Nicholasville Road. Find your style.
What was once Josie's on 68 is now the latest endeavor from the Murray family, The Recipe on 68. Returning more to their roots as their former dining establishment, Murray's, The Recipe combines signature dishes in an elegant atmosphere and adds unexpected twists like a flight of specialty bourbons or moonshines. The Recipe is open for lunch and dinner and serves breakfast and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Also, your John 1010 club card is good for half-price appetizers on weeknights after 5 p.m. The Recipe on 68, a new Lexington classic, is born.
Jimmy McKinney with J&R Construction. We use an online system that our clients log in and see the project too. All the communication goes through this system. Once we set you up and we send you a message through it, it just sends you a regular email and you can reply to it like you normally would, but it keeps it all in one place, one location. So all the communication is there, so there's no he said, she said, anything like that. There's a 2-minute video on our website that you can see how this whole process works. Our website is jrcsi.com, jrcsi.com.
Does your parish or ministry struggle to keep everyone in the loop? Do you want a simple solution? Something that just works? Well, FlockNote.com was made for you. Create text message and email lists for every one of your ministries and groups, then import contacts you already have, or simply let members subscribe to your activities themselves via the web or text message right from their phones. It's never been easier to collect up-to-date contact information and then be able to send your groups an email or text message at the click of a button. Visit FlockNote.com for a free trial.
I often hear the question, what can I do to make a difference? I recently met a man on fire for his Catholic faith, a revert, as we call them, vitally connected to the church. He shared with me that he attributes Real Life Radio to his reversion. How did he find out about us? He saw our logo in traffic on the car in front of him. We never know where the seeds we scatter will take root, but it is important to know they do take root, and this gentleman's testimony is proof. To receive your free What If It Is True Auto Magnet, simply go to our website and click on the Auto Magnet link. You can call us at 855-949-1380 or just stop by during business hours at 110 Dennis Drive. Feel free as well to replace your old magnet if it's starting to show signs of age. Don't think that there's nothing you can do. Sometime the seemingly most insignificant makes all the difference in the lives of others. Be an air apostle by simply displaying our auto magnet for all to see. And by doing so, you never know, but you just might inspire that next individual to change their station and change their life.
Good afternoon, Real Life Radio listeners. This is Jennifer with your traffic brought to you by Kentucky Alarm Systems. Learn more at kyalarm.com. Non-injury collision on East High Street at Arlington Avenue and outbound Athens Boonesboro Road at Hayes Boulevard. Stalled vehicle on Starshoot Parkway between Sir Barton Way and Pink Pigeon Parkway. The left lane is partially blocked headed towards Liberty Road. And that's your traffic on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Welcome back into the Mike Allen Show on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 94.9 FM. Asking the question today about saxophonists. Who's your favorite saxophone player of all time? It is the birthday of the late, great Dexter Gordon. I'm asking that question. That right there, Charlie Parker, who in our very, very, very unscientific Facebook poll got the most votes on our question of the day. If you want to chime in, you're welcome to 855-949-1380 or email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. Deacon Skip said Bird or Charlie Bird Parker, right? Brett Irvin said his wife. That's nice, Brett. I've never heard Julie play the saxophone, but I'll take your word for it. AJ says Bill Clinton. Blah, ha, 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 ha. I have to say this for you, AJ. There you go. Whoops, I'm sorry. I meant to have a rim shot there, and I still had Charlie Parker playing. Let's see if I can get it going now. There you go. That's just for you, AJ. Tom says the late, great Clarence Clemens. Nancy, going with the Kentuckian Boots Randolph. Christy says Kenny G. Christy. Usually we say there's no wrong answer, but Kenny G. Anyway. Andy says he's also got to go with Bird Parker. So if you've got a different thought on that, 855-949-1380. I've always loved the saxophone. As I said, we're very looked down upon. You'll never see a Philharmonic with a sax section, for example. But as I said, where would rock and roll be? Where would jazz be without the sax? I rest my case. We were talking toward the beginning of the program about the whole issue of the minimum wage and a just wage. Looking at today's first reading from the Epistle of James, in which James has some pretty harsh words for those who, in their wealth, have no compassion toward the poor. And not only that, but those who withhold wages. The Catholic social tradition, moral tradition, which is rooted, of course, in the scriptural tradition and in Judaism, really, in the Old Testament, viewed that there were different types of theft. And even if you look in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the commandment, thou shalt not steal, it includes within its purview any sort of seizing of something that belongs to someone else. But the Christian moral tradition, the Jewish moral tradition, has always also seen a type of theft in those who withhold just wages from workers. As the Epistle of James says, behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. Very strong words. That withholding just wages from the worker is a sin that cries out for justice to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that then gives us a definitive answer on the political question, socio-political question, economic question of minimum wage laws. But certainly, you know, what you tend to oftentimes see is, and as is typically the case, the Catholic position is sort of the middle way. You've got those who on the left who say, yeah, sure, raise that minimum wage on up. Doesn't matter what the effect it has on businesses and entrepreneurs and owners and employers and that sort of thing. Jack that puppy up to 10-something an hour, and we have no worries about it because that somehow in and of itself is going to lift people out of poverty. Then you've got those sort of libertarians on the right who don't believe that the government should have any influence on market forces or the economy or wage laws and that sort of thing. And you know, they tend to believe in sort of the invisible hand of the free market, and that's going to lift wages to what they should be, and so forth and so on. I think both views are tremendously naive, in my opinion. And I think the Catholic moral tradition sees a positive role in government as having a role, not certainly an ultimate role to play, and we can't fool ourselves into abdicating our own responsibility, our own individual responsibility in the culture to, you know, the government, welfare state, whatever it may be. But government does have a role to protect those from being exploited and to ensure that there are not abuses that go on in terms of people, you know, like in other places who are being paid below a subsistence level because they have no real power. That's why the church has always advocated from really the time of Leo XIII and Rerum Novarum, his great encyclical on social justice, to organize themselves as long as they are able to do that for the proper ends and with the proper spirit. In other words, you know, that those who labor have a right to be represented and to protect their own interests from being exploited. So, you know, it's a great, I put a link to it on our show blog, MikeAllenShow.blogspot.com, this article from Crisis Magazine from a number of years ago, because there are factors to consider. Certainly, raising the minimum wage, depending on how high you raise it, could impact the job market, could cause employees to lose their jobs, which defeats the whole purpose of lifting people out of poverty. On the other hand, I would say that the minimum wage today is less than less in real dollars than it was 35 years ago. When I was slinging dirty rags over at York Steakhouse, making $3.35 an hour, current minimum wage less than that. And the other thing that I think is important to keep in mind is I've never seen an instance in which they've talked about raising the minimum wage that business owners were for it. They're always against it, and yet the disastrous effects that they always predict never seem to come to pass. Now, maybe there's a compromise. Maybe not all the way up to 10-something an hour. I don't know, but maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow when we have our buddy Jason Hall on from the Catholic Conference of Kentucky. We'll be back to wrap things up. Your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Good Thursday afternoon from Real Life Radio. Sunny for the rest of today and into the early evening with a high of 29, but a wind chill as low as 6. For tonight, our skies will be mostly clear with a high of around 9 and a wind chill as low as negative 2. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny during the day, but by the late evening, a chance of rain and then snow comes in the area with a high in the upper 30s and a wind chill as low as negative 2. This is Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Here's a Catholic calendar update on Real Life Radio. Would you like to have the daily readings, saint of the day, and a catechism passage delivered via email to you each day? If so, please send your email address to idaterrazas@yahoo.com. That's idaterrazas@yahoo.com. You can also receive them by liking the Facebook page, Catholic Readings of the Day. And that's a Catholic calendar update brought to you by Wine Styles on the corner of Moore Drive and Nicholasville Road. Find your style.
Good afternoon, Real Life Radio listeners. This is Jennifer with your traffic brought to you by Kentucky Alarm Systems. Learn more at kyalarm.com. Non-injury collision on East High Street at Arlington Avenue and outbound 8th and Boonesboro Road at Hayes Boulevard. Stalled vehicle on Starshoot Parkway between Sir Barton Way and Pink Pigeon Parkway. The left lane is partially blocked headed towards Liberty Road. And that's your traffic on your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM.
Wrapping things up on the Mike Allen Show. Thanks to Chelsea Zimmerman for being with us today. I hope it's payback part two tonight for the UK team. We've got the Arkansas Hogs coming in. Man, I miss those days back in the 90s, the great UK-Arkansas rivalry. For some reason, you know, I usually detest our rivals. I didn't hate those Arkansas teams. Something about their style of play, their swagger that they had. They were a true, worthy foe for Patino's great teams. Those were the days. Maybe Mike Anderson, Coach Cal, get it back there again. We'll see. Your Catholic station, Real Life Radio 1380 and 94.9 FM, WMJR, Nicholasville, Lexington. Catholic Answers Live is up next. Be sure to stay tuned. See you tomorrow by God's grace.
This is an EWTN CNA Newslink. I'm Charles Prim. The head of the Ukrainian Catholic Church is warning that the danger of civil war in the country has not passed. Last week, more than 70 people were